Now, in the beginning, you're not good at this stuff, right? Because you're new. And so, you know, you don't do it perfectly, and maybe you got to work at it a little bit. But would it be worth spending even an hour just to find out a person's motivation strategy, like your own, or decision strategy, or creativity strategy? Why would it be worth even a total hour of focus? Because once you got it, how long can you use it for? For the whole, your whole life, and it won't take you an hour. It'll take you 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes max, even when you're new. When you get good, you'll start noticing strategies on the fly as they're happening. Because you're no longer in the dark. It's going to start showing up for you, right? You'll start to notice people mirroring. You're going to start noticing things you never noticed before. So strategies are the same way. So you can get somebody's motivation strategy by saying, okay, can you remember a time when you're totally motivated? And they go, yep. Are they fully associated? So say, can you remember a specific time? And they go, yeah. Say, go back that time. Imagine you're there. How are you breathing when you're really motivated? Because I was, I don't know. Well, if you did know. Well, I don't like this sort of. Okay, boom, you're starting to get there. What were you picturing? What were you seeing? Now they're there. What was the very first thing that caused you to be motivated? Let's say, for example, you say, okay, Tony, what am I supposed to do? Let's say I want someone's attraction strategy. What do I do? Walk up in a bar and walk up to some girl and go, hey, baby, what's your attraction strategy? What do you picture? Right? No, you don't even have to do this. After a while, you'll start hearing it. Like recently, I went to lunch at my office in San Diego, and I came back, and instead of using the elevator, I decided to use the stairs. You know, why not? So the stairs, they'll lead up to the back of the building, and they come up into our lunchroom area. So I came through there, and I got paged, and I picked up the phone to take the call. As I'm on the phone in the lunchroom, I hear four or five of our secretaries in there who have our lunch, and one of them, two of them or three of them just came back from lunch, and they are in a very animated state. And they're talking really loud, and they're giggling like crazy, and I'm having a hard time even hearing the call. So as I'm trying to talk to this person, I'm also hearing out of my other ear this conversation, which is unmistakable. This woman's saying, oh my God, Mary, oh my God, you missed it. You should have gone to lunch. I'm telling you something. There was this guy there, oh my God. The minute I saw him, he was tall, and he was dark, and he's handsome. And he looked at us out of the corner of his eye, and as soon as I saw him, I thought, oh, I gotta have him. Okay, so now, guess what? I know her entire attraction strategy. What's the first trigger? Visual, auditory, or kinesthetic? Visual. What are the submodalities? Tall, dark, handsome. How do you look at her? Corner of his eye. The way you look is a submodality. You can look straight, you look corner, you can look at an angle, all kinds of things you can do. Right? So I know all those. Do I know what the second one? What was the second element? Was it auditory or kinesthetic? Kinesthetic. And if you're not sure what it was, just go, feel what muscles you use, you'll know. Okay? And then the third one was what? What was the third element of her strategy? Auditory. She said, I gotta have him, right? So here's her strategy if I was gonna write it out. It's visual external. You guys see that? Then it was kinesthetic internal, a feeling she felt. Then it was auditory, and I don't know if it was external or internal, because she probably said, I'm gonna have him in her head. I doubt if she said it out loud. So I'll say internal, but maybe she did. Okay? And we even know the submodalities. We know that this guy was large, tall, right? So it's a large image. She didn't think of him as small. We know that he was dark, which is part of her submodality she likes. And he looked out of the corner of her eye, and I think she said he smiled at her, right? So we know her submodalities. Kinesthetic, however you spell that. Okay? But you go, what is that? Okay, there's tension. Is there tension in that? Yes or no? Is there pressure? Right? Where is it? Stomach area, maybe some other areas. And then the auditory. I've got to have him. And by the way, that's the words, I got to have him. But did she say, I've got to have him? No. Was there a speed? Was there a tempo? Fast or slow? Fast. Loud or quiet? Dropping down or going up at the end? So we know even all this, we know the whole thing. Now, I can cause her to feel attracted to anybody, or I could show any man how to trigger her. Go, what if he's not tall and dark? I'll show you that's not even an obstacle. You can still trigger it as long as you trigger it in these sequences and use some of these submodalities, right? So you're going to start noticing somebody say, oh, yeah, I just bought this watch. Find out their decision-making strategy. Oh, yeah, where'd you get it? Oh, at the store. What made you want it? I don't know. I just walked in the room because a friend of mine told me they had great stuff there. And she steered me well in the past. What's the first part of their strategy? Auditory. External. The first motivation is someone telling them. And then I walked in and I talked to the jeweler and asked him if it really was everything they said it was. So what's the second part? Auditory, external. Then what happened? I took one look out of it and said to myself, third part is look, and then again, said, here's somebody who's very auditory. This really is beautiful. And it felt right, so I just bought it. What's her strategy? A, right? Someone told her, auditory external, she talked to the guy, visual external, she saw it. She said to herself, auditory internal, wow, this is really great. And then kinesthetic internal felt right. That's her strategy. You wouldn't go to her and say, let me show you this watch. You'd first tell her about it. You describe it to her. You tell her things. That'll get her much more motivated. Okay, that's visual, auditory, kinesthetic. See it, right? Say it, feel it. So what most people do is they try to motivate other people using their strategy rather than using that person's strategy. Let's say you go to a restaurant and you see someone there, or you meet somebody there, or you'd like to meet somebody there, and you think they're really attractive, you'd like to get to know them. Would you just walk up and say, I want to know your attraction strategy? Obviously not. So can you get rapport with someone from a distance while you're not anywhere near their space, even without speaking to them? Is that possible, yes or no? How would you do that? You'd mirror the person. Do you have to be looking at them to get rapport with them, yes or no? No, absolutely not. So let's say I want to get rapport. I'm looking this direction, and I'm going to get rapport with someone over here I'm not looking at. Can you do that? Sure, all you have to do is pick eye contact. Let me pick this lady on the aisle. What's your name, my dear? Diane? So if I look at Diane here, Diane is sitting kind of a unique way, like this. So that might be awkward, so I probably wouldn't mirror that part. I might mirror part of it like this, so I'm in that, but not exactly. I don't have to mirror it exactly. It's not like knowing her thoughts. I don't have to know that. Or I could just mirror her breathing pattern. That's it, so I could do that. Or I could mirror her facial expression. Now, I would never do it looking at her. I glance at her, see where she is, and then I continue my conversation with whoever I was there with, and I just keep mirroring. Maybe the breathing, because it's the most subtle one of all. She won't even notice it, but after a while, she'll start to feel like she's in sync with me. So as I'm looking over here, what if, at the same time I'm doing that, I see somebody else over here I want to get rapport with? Can you get rapport with more than one person at a time? What if you're in a business meeting? Can you do that, yes or no? Sure, I can mirror her leg position, overall angle, and maybe her breathing, and maybe I think this lady's like head position, right? And her little smile, like this, right? So now I got rapport with two people simultaneously. See, when two people meet, if there's rapport, if there's mutual respect, mutual caring, if the person doesn't feel you're trying to manipulate them, if you really do care, when two people meet, if that rapport is there, whoever is most certain will eventually influence the other person. Period. Period. I'll give you a corny example. Columbus. How does he get the queen to give him all these ships to go on a trip that no one comes back from? Or better yet, how does he recruit people to go on a trip no one ever survives? Because when he met these people, his vision, his certainty was greater than their uncertainty. Now, if you know the story of Columbus, the real story, about halfway across the ocean, these guys started freaking out because they started going, he doesn't know where we're going. It's not like he has a map. We're all going to die. Kill him. And they were going to kill him. And one guy said, don't kill him. He's the only one certain we're going to find land. And he was. That's leadership. I'll give you a fun example. Michael Eisner is a friend of mine. Brilliant man. What he's done with Disney is unbelievable. And so I got a chance to fly with him. We went to a hockey game together, a Stanley Cup championship, and then we flew back together. And I asked him, I said, I heard this story about Disney. I said, I wonder if it's true. And he said it was, because a lot of things are urban legends, you know. And the story is this. I said, I'd heard that when they opened Epcot down in Florida, that what happened was a reporter came. First of all, it was really successful, obviously. Huge success, opening day. And all these reporters were covering things. And one reporter was a real jerk, approached Roy Disney, Walt's brother. And he said to Roy, he said, Roy, this must be a real bittersweet day for you, huh? And Roy looked at him incredulous. He said, what do you mean, a bittersweet day? I mean, Epcot's open. It's magnificent. Everybody loves it. He said, yeah, Epcot's magnificent. It's beautiful. But it's got to really hurt you to know that Walt never got to see this. What a scumbag. Right? But Roy was so cool, such a class act. He looked at the guy and he smiled and he said, gosh, it's obvious to me why you're merely a reporter and not a visionary. He said, you're going to always have to write about other people's achievements until you understand one principle. Walt saw this. That's why you get to see it.